This is the Taxpayer Podcast, and we are fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. I'm Chris Sims. I'm the Alberta Director for the CTF. My good friend Franco Terrazano, we shipped him back. Hi, Franco. You're back in Ottawa, but you were back home here for a long spell. That was really nice having you here.
Oh, the air in Alberta, it just hits different, doesn't it? Now I'm back in swampy old Mordor. Wow.
Yeah. So, can I tell the silly story that I mentioned to you earlier this morning?
Give her.
So Franco plays rugby, and he was here in Lethbridge, and he got kicked in the head or something during rugby. So he had this massive bruise in the middle of his forehead. Like he looked like a third eye up there. So he actually had to do TV, and I finally convinced him after being a producer for years in TV. Franco, you got to put makeup on this thing. So congratulations, but he left it here. And so I was doing my makeup this morning and I accidentally frigging used that stuff. So anyway, I had to restart.
You look like me. We're twins. And you know what, folks, too? Like, I actually wasn't even able to figure out how to put the makeup on. So stepmama Chris had to get makeup on my face before I went on TV. So thank you from all of us, Chris.
Perfectly normal situation. Every guy who's ever worked in TV totally understands what I'm talking about here. But so this past week has been pretty busy. I just finished getting back from, there's this carbon tax protest, an AXA tax protest that is set up on the Trans-Canada Highway westbound just outside of Calgary, looking towards Banff. And I got to tip my hat to those folks. They've been there for 2 months protesting the carbon tax here in Canada. And so lots of good folks there. They've got a camper they've all set up. They've got a barbecue going. They apparently had a bouncy castle a couple of weeks ago. So people are pulling through and saying hi. So I just wanted to give a nod to people who are out there actually fighting the fight with joy. And I checked in there. Now, as far as fighting the fight goes, the CTF, we like to use a mix of things like humor, right? Handing out golden pig statues and having a bit of fun. And then we get into serious legal stuff. And we're getting into some serious legal stuff, as far as I can see, with the CBC, everybody's favorite state broadcaster. What are you doing with the CBC, Franco?
Yeah, we're giving them a fight, that's for sure. I mean, our lawyers have officially launched a legal challenge against the CBC with the Information Commissioner. And here's why. The CBC won't release how much in bonuses that is paying out to Catherine Tate, the president, and its senior executives. It has seven senior executives. And remember, folks, they're all paid for by the taxpayer, right? The CBC is getting more than $1 billion from taxpayers like you every single year, but they won't say how much their president and seven senior executives are taking in bonuses. So, you know what? We're pretty ticked off here because, as a matter of principle, you pay the bills. At the very least, the CBC owes you transparency. But not only that, I mean, the CBC, like all the other government agencies, and Crown corporations are required to follow the access to information law. But in this case, they're blatantly breaking it. So we said enough is enough, okay? It's been more than 2 months since we filed the official access to information request. They are still stonewalling the release of the records. So we got our lawyers involved, and they launched a legal challenge against the CBC with the Information Commissioner.
Now, there was some weird stuff with the timing here, too, right? Were they delayed it and it wound up to be after the committee hearing? Is that what went down?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So let me just give you some backstory, okay, folks? Okay. So you might remember last Christmas, right? December 2023, the CBC announces hundreds of potential layoffs at the state broadcaster. Then you have their president, Catherine Tate, running around claiming that the CBC is somehow chronically underfunded, even though they get more than $1 billion from taxpayers every year. Okay, so apparently the cupboards are bare. So we filed an access to information request asking how much in bonuses the CBC paid out in 2023. Well, it turns out they paid out $15 million in taxpayer-funded bonuses to 1,100 staff last year. Okay, but not the end of the story. Then we asked, well, how much of the bonuses went to Tate and the senior executives? The CBC comes back to us a month later, and the CBC says we're not going to, you know, give us a 30-day extension. Now, the 30-day extension just so happened to be about 3 days after Tate was going to the parliamentary committee. Now, why were they delaying the release of those records to like 3 days after she was at committee? Because Tate didn't want to have to talk about her own bonus to those members of parliament and to Canadians. Okay. Now, fast forward, even after that, The CBC still refusing to release the bonuses for the senior executives. So we said enough is enough. And that's why we launched the legal challenge with the information commissioner to drag that information into the light.
Are you happy to see the coverage of this? Like, I know we had the story, you know, quite a few weeks ago on this, but now because of the resurgence, because of the legal challenge, I would argue that's why it's popped back up in the news. Are you happy to see more people catching on to this?
Yeah, of course. Of course. This is all about, I mean, at the end of the day, this is all about transparency, right? Taxpayers deserve to know how much money and bonuses the federal government is handing out to all their department bureaucrats and executives and crown corporations. So, yes, I am. But we're going to keep fighting. We're not going to give this up until we find out how much in bonuses were paid out to Tate and the seven senior executives. So here's what we do know about the CBC seven senior executives. Okay. We know that their compensation is about just under $4 million. Okay. There's seven of them, which means that their average annual compensation is like $540,000 to the seven senior executives. Chris, you know what? Let me also talk about another reason why I'm very optimistic here. Now, folks, you might remember last year there was this big shenanigans, this big scandal going about who stayed in the $6,000 per night hotel room. Chris, do you remember that?
Yeah, it was a complete mystery. A complete mystery who possibly could have stayed in that hotel room.
Yeah, it was during the Queen's funeral in London. And then the news broke that somebody, who could it have been, stayed in the $6,000 per night hotel room during the Queen's funeral in London, England. Now, I think everyone knew who it was, but the government refused to admit who stayed in the room. So we filed an access to information request. We got the request back and it was blacked out. So they wrote down Justin Trudeau's name and then they blacked it out. And we said, no way are you getting away with that. So in that case, we also launched this legal challenge with the information commissioner, and the prime minister's office knew they were going to lose that case. So what did they do? Well, Trudeau finally fessed up, admitted it was him the same day that President Joe Biden was coming to town in an attempt to bury the story. So our previous legal challenge worked, and I'm confident that this legal challenge against the CBC to get Tate's and the other senior executive bonuses will also work.
I was noticing some good feedback from our supporters on this, too. It seems like they want us to give them hell.
Oh, and we are.
We're gonna. Okay, well, that's, you know, in the 500 and something thousand dollars, that sounds about right. Well, that's not right, but it's mathematically right. It's in the ballpark, because I know for a fact that if anybody wants to look this up, Catherine Tate is registered as a CEO level 7 in Crown Corporations. So when you get right into the weeds of Ottawa and you get into that kind of level of executive pay or any really staffer pay, when you deal with the government side, they have different grid formats and stuff on where your pay is, your pay rate, and people can look it up. Average peasants and taxpayers can look this stuff up. So if anybody's trying to look that stuff up, CEO Catherine Tate is level 7 for a Crown Corporation. Now, how does this compare more broadly to bonuses and stuff when it comes to Crown Corporations and government?
You know, I wish it was an outlier, but it's not. Like, yeah. It's just not. Like, everyone and their dog who works for the federal government these days apparently is getting a bonus, especially if you're an executive. So our investigative journalist, Ryan Thorpe, between me and you, don't tell him, folks. I think he's probably the best investigative journalist we have in this country. But he went through, like literally hundreds of pages, I think like 400 pages of government records. And he found out that last year, the federal government handed out $406 million in bonuses. $406 million in taxpayer-funded bonuses.
That is gross. Because you have to stop and think. Are you getting $406 million worth of bonuses of great work? Like, think about where the federal government affects your life. Like the last time you were at a passport office, for example, or when you were coming back across a border with ArriveCan or healthcare, like wherever the federal government has, you know, their fingers in the pie of your life, are you getting that gold standard service that deserves bonuses?
To ask the question answers it. Hey, like, So let me get a little bit more into the details, right? Okay. So that $406 million is broken down into two parts. So it was $195 million in bonuses to bureaucrats working at the Crown corporations like the CBC, the Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation, and my personal favorite, the Bank of Canada. Okay. the other $210 million of bonuses went to like the bureaucrats working in the federal departments. So like the Department of Justice or the Canada Revenue Agency. Okay. But hold on a second, because it gets worse, as it always does for the Canadian taxpayer with the federal government. If you look at last year's bonuses paid out to the departments, and then you go through all the data back to 2015, well, it turns out the federal government has handed out more than $1.5 billion in bonuses to department bureaucrats since 2015, more than $1.5 billion in bonuses.
You could build a really nice hospital for that amount of money for people that can't, you know, it's crazy.
But then how would we have money to give them bonuses?
Yes, but what about the poor bureaucrats? Please, dear listener. Oh my gosh, Franco, that is just a heck of a ton of money. Folks, if you want more details on this, do check out all of our stories. It's all on taxpayer.com. We're also all over X/Twitter, whatever Elon's calling it these days. So do check out all those stories. Now, I wanted to get to something here that I actually hadn't been keeping up on, but since you're back in Mordor there, you're keeping up with what's going on with the election date move. So last I understood, the Liberal government, the Trudeau government, was trying to kick the election date ahead by a week. What's happening with that right now?
Yeah, so wow. Okay, this one makes me sick to my stomach. It's full of deception and it's really just brutal for the average taxpayer. So the next scheduled election, the date is October the 20th of 2025. Okay, October 20, 2025. Now, any member of parliament who is first elected in the 2019 election, well, they're not eligible for their pension until October 21, 2025. So
okay, I see what's going on.
So how does the Liberal government want to fix that for their MPs? Well, they now are proposing to move the election date back a week from October 20th to October 27th of 2025, okay? So moving the election back just 1 week would mean that 80 additional members of parliament would be eligible for their sweet, 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 lucrative, taxpayer-funded pension. And Chris, it is almost guaranteed that if they move the election back 1 week, it would cost taxpayers tens of millions of dollars, but it could cost up to $120 million in lifetime pensions for members of parliament.
By moving this thing up by one week.
1 week.
Wow.
And you'll notice that I said sweet, 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 lucrative taxpayer funded pension, and I meant it. Okay, so here's how crazy some of these MP pensions can be. So a member of parliament could work for just 6 years. Some of these MPs could work for just 6 years, and I use the term work loosely. 6 years in office, and they could still get a lifetime pension of more than $2 million. 6 years. $2 million.
Wow. Okay. This reminds me of Mark Holland's ridiculous comments. Don't know if you saw that, about taking a road trip. Hey, kids, don't take road trips with your family or the planet's going to burn.
The Honorable Minister of Health. Mr. Speaker, good news, kids. You can take a summer fun time vacation where you're locked in a car for 10 consecutive days, nonstop with no bathroom breaks, and the Conservatives have a plan for you to have that summertime fun. And the cost? Give up the future of the planet, right? Don't worry, kids, about climate change. Don't worry about taking action on the planet. Enjoy your 10 hours in the car and let the planet burn.
Just absolute nonsense, because, you know, working normal people can only really afford road trips. Working normal people can't afford to fly around, because guess what? They don't get paid cabinet minister salaries, mm-hmm. Minister Holland, which is about $300,000 plus a car allowance plus free travel. That's gross. So there, did I hear this right? It might have been a fever dream. Were they trying to say that they only want to delay the election by a week because of some religious holiday that they don't want it landing on? Did I hear that right?
Yeah, Yeah, that was their spin. We have to move the election back 1 week because of religious holiday. That was like, it's like, reminds me, I forget what game show it is, but it's like, are you sure that's your final answer? Like, do you really want to lock that in? Well, it took Canadians all of 2 seconds to see through that spin, because like, all, you know, every Canadian I've asked about this are like, okay, hold on a sec. If you're going to move the election back a week because of a religious holiday, well, then why don't you just move the election up a week?
Earlier.
You know, like just make it a week earlier. Like, that literally Canadians saw through that in about 2.5 seconds. So all of this is just pension trickery. It's deception on the part of the government to give essentially dozens of more MPs a very lucrative taxpayer-funded pension. And you know what? I just wish that the government would spend just half the time thinking about how to actually make Canadians' lives better, as they do spending time thinking up new ways to scheme up more pensions for more politicians.
Who wants and to Chris, be a millionaire? These guys, apparently. Mm. Yeah.
And Chris, like, let me also just point out, like if a member of parliament doesn't get a pension, if they're not eligible for a pension, they get $100,000 severance check. Okay. $100,000 severance check. Okay. But then beyond that, they also get like a $15,000 transition allowance, because I don't know, apparently MPs have convinced themselves that once you go become an MP, it's hard to get a job afterwards. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah. I honestly, in the pavement. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's real tough. Hey, yeah, how about it's real tough for the Canadians who are working two jobs right now and still can't pay their mortgage.
Yeah.
You know, that's who should be keeping you up at night. And then not to mention that MPs have been taking pay raises every single year. They've all taken five pay raises since the beginning of 2020. Okay. Like, the base salary for a member of parliament is now the second highest among all base salaries for elected officials in the world. The National Post crunched those numbers. Kudos to them. So, like, this is just disgusting.
It is completely disgusting. Now, is anybody riding to the rescue here? Like, do they need to vote on this to be able to move this election date in the House of Commons? And number two, we're still technically in a minority government right now. Are there any other parties that are riding to the election, to the savior here, to fix this? Like, which parties are voting which way? Do we know yet?
So this bill was brought in by the Liberal Minister Dominic LeBlanc. Okay. Right. So this is a Liberal government bill and part of the bill would change the election from October 20th to October 27, 2025. Okay. So this is a piece of legislation.
Okay.
Now, to their credit, right away, the Conservatives, and really it was Mr. Pierre Poilievre, their leader, who said, we're against this. Like, and he said exactly what I was saying. If you're going to change the election, just make it a week earlier, make it sometime earlier, so that you're not giving dozens of MPs a pension that they should not have qualified for. So right out of the gate, kudos to the Conservatives for opposing it. Now, also kudos, because this is very recent that they announced this, the New Democrat said they're not going to support this either. So really? Kudos to them. Yeah. And the New Democrat said that they would bring forward amendments to the legislation to not delay the election, to give all these additional MPs a pension. So the New Democrats are on the right side. The Bloc Québécois have also said that they're against it. So, you know, we first started talking about this with their supporters like a couple months ago when we first heard about this. Right. And I think the pressure from our supporters are working out. Sorry. So it's good. Like, so far, we got the Conservatives who are against this. The New Democrats say they're against this. And so do the Bloc. But look, like, a lot of shenanigans can happen in the House of Commons before we actually stop this delay. So we got to keep the pressure on, and we got to make sure that there's Liberal MPs who don't support this either.
Yeah, that's huge. I'm actually pretty surprised that the NDP so far is saying they're not going to support this, because for the longest time now, Jagmeet Singh and his NDP have been in lockstep with the Liberal government. So if they're actually saying that they're going to not support this legislation, that's pretty new. So we'll have to wait and see with that one. All right. So we wanted to get to our taxpayer pro tip. I think we got away from that in our last show. What's your taxpayer pro tip for this show?
My taxpayer pro tip goes out to every single Liberal member of parliament, right? You got the Conservatives, the NDP, and the Bloc are opposing the delay of the election to give MPs more MPs a pension. I haven't heard, and maybe I missed it. I don't know. Maybe there's somewhere out there whispering very quietly, but my taxpayer pro tip goes to every single one of the Liberal MPs. It's time for you to do the right thing. Canadians are just being devastated by the cost of living every single year over the last couple of years, where Canadians are, I mean, Chris, like, I don't need to tell you, like, the price of a jug of milk, the price of a roast chicken, yeah. How many Canadians are worried about their renewing their mortgages? Like, Canadians are going through a really tough time. So my pro tip is to Liberal MPs, think about the Canadians you're supposed to represent, think about how hard their lives are, and then ask yourself, is it right for us to move the election back 1 week so dozens of MPs can get a very lucrative taxpayer pension? The obvious answer is it's not the right thing to do. So the taxpayer pro tip, Liberal MPs, come out on the right side of this thing and push back against the delay of the election.
Yeah, for the session to be over and for them to be going back to their ridings for the summer, I hope they get an earful at all of these little, you know, events that they go to and the fairs that they go to and the baby kissing events. I hope their constituents fill their ears and tell them, do not do this. Do not move the election. Don't take this big pension. To your point on people struggling, like, the numbers are nuts. Like, we're seeing record demand now for working families using a food bank. Working families. That means a parent holding down a job is counting on donated peanut butter to feed their kid in Canada.
You know, it's getting kind of insane, right? Because I think Canadians are very well known for really caring about the people who, you know, have worked and are working really hard, but are just low income, right? Things happen in people's lives. Mm-hmm. Like, things just happen. And people are, in Canada especially, I find, very caring for lower income Canadians. But what's so crazy now is that it's not just lower income Canadians who are really struggling. Like, it's people who are, like, both mom and dad or whatever, they both have jobs. They're both working hard and they can barely get by.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not just a lower income problem anymore. It's like people who are and who identify and who should be squarely in the middle class are getting kicked in the teeth right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happens. Like, places like BC, if you're living around Vancouver or even outside of it, your rent is around $3,000 a month. Oh, and gasoline, insane. A liter of gasoline is around $2. You add commuting time to that, it's crazy. It's no wonder people are so far into personal debt. So this leads me actually to my taxpayer pro tip, and it's close to home here in Alberta, and it's about affordability. Now, off the top, we're super happy with the Daniel Smith government balancing the budget, okay, here in the province, and keeping spending increases below the rate of inflation plus population growth. Those are very good things. Paying down the debt is a good thing. So is saving for a rainy day. But you have to keep your election promises. So the UCP was elected 1 year ago. 1 year ago, the Daniel Smith UCP government was elected here in the province of Alberta. Their main promise was tax cuts for all Albertans. No tax cuts yet, Franco. In fact, my taxes are higher today than they were a year ago, because a year ago we were paying zero cents per liter for the provincial fuel tax. It was fully suspended for the entire year. Again, that was a good thing they did that. So we all saved 13 cents per liter. That's around $10 a minivan, close to $15 per pickup truck fill up. That was really good. Today, though, we're paying full freight. That fuel tax is all the way back up to 13 cents per liter of gasoline and diesel. Meanwhile, we can look over in Manitoba, and theirs is fully suspended under an NDP government. So we're paying higher fuel taxes here in Lethbridge than our folks are in Brandon or Winnipeg. That's not cool. And the other big one here, the big promise was to cut the income tax here in the province of Alberta. So as you know, because you lived here, the provincial income tax starts at 10%, all the way up to like $140,000 worth of earnings. That is the middle class and working class right there. Boom, 10%. So that's a big deal. They promised, Franco, to reduce it down to 8% for the first $60,000. Now, this sounds wonky, but it was going to save around $750 per person, or like $1,500 per family. Hasn't happened yet. And they've now said they're kicking the can so hard that they're going to get to this maybe around 2026. And even then, it's only going to be 9%, not down to 8%. So this is a taxpayer.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if I mentioned that when I was covering the budget. It was, yeah, only 9%, not 8%. So our taxpayer pro tip here goes to the UCP government. If you make a big promise during the election, especially to cut taxes, you keep those promises. All right, folks, if you want any more information on this, if you want to send an email to your member of parliament, if you want to send an email to your MLA, if you want to order an awesome t-shirt like this that says this is why we can't have nice things, head on over to our website, taxpayer.com, and join the fight.
And if you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button.
I like that.
Talking to you, Mom.